Today? We're busy doing a new series on foundations. We're taking the whole church through a series of lessons. It's amazing how much you can learn if you want to learn. And one of the things about the Bible is it's a book that many people haven't really decided to study. Many believers just read it devotionally. They just want a favorite verse or a quick encouragement. But actually, if you study it, if you take the theology and you break it down into topics, it actually makes a much stronger foundation for your faith. So last week we spoke about salvation. And today we're going to look at water baptism. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We want it to be the foundation of our lives. We want to understand it and we want to put it into practice. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lovely verse. Sorry, can you turn this down? I'm very, very loud. I'm deafening myself when I speak. So, there's a verse in Acts 8, verse 36. It's the place where Philip is working with the Ethiopian eunuch. He's been sharing the gospel. And he's been discussing believing and responding to what you believe. And the Ethiopian, he's buying in. He's saying yes. And he says he's heard about baptism. And he says, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Can you imagine this? He's learnt about Jesus. And he's heard that he should be baptized. And he sees that they're right near some water. And he says, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? I love that response. He's not debating, discussing, arguing. He's not analyzing and overcomplicating everything. He has exemplary faith. Because he's heard the word of God and he's received it like a child, he's just going to put it into practice. And I believe God delights in that kind of a heart. It just says, I want you, Jesus. You say I should get baptized. Okay, I'll get baptized. Not, wait, let me think about it. Wait a minute, what is this thing? Are you sure it's not the same as, you know, I saw someone being sprinkled once as a baby? He doesn't start a whole discussion. And yet in church history, that's what we've done. We've put everything on hold and tried to make a big discussion. Where it's actually not that complicated. So I'm going to ask and answer 7 questions. What is baptism? Why must we be baptized? Who must be baptized? When must we be baptized? Where must we be baptized? Who can baptize? And how do we get baptized? And we're just going to answer those questions from the Word of God. So the first question, what is baptism? Well, from Scripture we can see that baptism is a symbol. In other words, it's an outward action that demonstrates something significant. In Galatians 3 verse 27, Paul is speaking of salvation. And he says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is something that happens as you are born again. You are putting on Christ. You are made alive in Christ. You are now identified with Christ. And this is a spiritual baptism. I am in Christ and He is in me. And this is invisible, it's unseen, it's a spiritual reality. If you look at Romans 6 verse 3 to 5, it says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him at baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. So Paul is talking about a spiritual baptism. And water baptism follows from that concept. Water baptism is a visible depiction and enactment of us dying with Christ and being raised to new life in Him.
aan loe isika as die maar van Christia ja betek aan tsanga na jare kan nas.
So you go down into the watery grave.
Is dan mee dat man kan hom lê ramu taan kan pas na isik.
Kind of saying I died to my old life. And you come up out of the water saying, I'm raised to the new life, the new creature in Christ. So it's a symbolic representation of a spiritual baptism. Well, you can already see, therefore, that you would do it because you already got saved.
Yeah.
It's because I became a Christian. I identify with Christ in His death and I look forward to resurrection. I can say I died with Christ so that I can live with Christ. These are all ways we describe what happens when we become a Christian. So this makes water baptism a public confession of our faith. It's us representing to the world what's happened privately between us and Jesus. So to answer the question, what is baptism? It's an outward symbol of an inward change. And it's a public confession of our faith. And in fact, for many people who take that step and say, I'm a Jesus follower and I want everyone to know it, it's when you take a public stand to confess Christ guess what? The devil doesn't like that. Often opposition comes. You declare, I'm going to get baptized. Someone in your family says, why? You stand up and say, I'm going to put God first publicly, and opposition comes. Nevertheless, baptism is just that. It is a declaration of your faith. Why must we be baptized? In the old days, there were different kinds of baptisms in Jesus' time. John the Baptizer was baptizing people for repentance. In history, we can read of other prophets that baptized people. And in general, what baptism meant was you becoming a follower of that teaching. So John the Baptizer had disciples, he had followers. And they were the ones that had been baptized by him. And Jesus similarly said to us, when we make disciples of Jesus, we should baptize them. We know well his commission in Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28:19. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's clear. Make disciples, baptize them. It's a declaration that I'm following Jesus. And I guess again, it helps to be a follower of Jesus then. Because later when we get to the question of who gets baptized, it seems practically pointless to baptize a baby. Because the whole idea of baptism was, I'm pledging that I'm following this guy. It's not, because baptism meant that. It's not the church's definition, it's the understanding of baptism globally. And Jesus set the example himself. We see he comes down to John and he gets baptized. And he says, I'm doing this not because he needed some kind of a cleaning from the baptism, but because he wanted to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf. So you can read that in Matthew chapter 3 on your own. He had no sin to repent of. But he got baptized as an example to us. As an example of a perfect person fulfilling all the commands. And later on, of course, we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. At Pentecost, people are being saved and they say, what must we do? And what does Peter respond? Repent and be baptized. So, why must we be baptized? Because we're commanded to. You don't need a bigger reason than that. Because Jesus said, go and baptize my followers. But in addition to that, we have Jesus' example. And we have the early church's example. The book of Acts has many, many examples. The first converts in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem. The Samaritans in Acts 8. Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. Paul in Acts chapter 9. Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10. Lydia and her household in Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. And then various other Corinthians in Acts chapter 18. Jews, Gentiles, as the gospel spread everywhere they went, they baptized people. And all of them were being baptized in response to being born again. So to make this abundantly clear, baptism is a response to being saved. It doesn't save you. No one was baptized into membership in a church. In fact, later on when the Corinthians were claiming, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, they were getting partisan. Paul says, actually, I'm glad I didn't baptize many of you at all. Because then you have no kind of claim to be my disciple. But if baptism was required for salvation, would Paul have said, I'm glad I didn't baptize some of you? Never. If baptism had anything directly to do to save you, Paul would have tried to baptize everyone he ever found. So churches that teach that you need to be baptized in order to be saved are lying. It's heresy. It's not truth. And they do it out of manipulative motives because they want to control people to boost their own attendance and finances and all kinds of evil. What is baptism? It's a public confession of your faith. It's not about a specific church or denomination. And so we can answer the third question, who must be baptized? All believers must be baptized. It's not infant baptism or adult baptism, it's believers' baptism. It only makes sense to baptize believers because it's a symbol of the change that's taken place. It's not the cause of the change. So, what about babies being baptized? Well, babies cannot repent. They don't even have any conviction of sin yet. I think at some point in church history they started to panic because they didn't really know if God would save babies or not. And they thought they could forcibly impart grace on a baby by baptizing it.
Mm-hmm.
In the history of Christian religion, man has invented many things that aren't in the Bible. But what is in the Bible is Jesus as a baby being brought to the temple. And Anna and Simeon are there and they pray over Jesus. There's a prayer, there's a blessing, there's worship. Mary and Joseph with the baby. A kind of a thing happens, but it's not baptism. So that's why we have a kind of a thing in the church where we dedicate the child to the Lord. But we know that doesn't save the child. But it's a special moment, it's a prayerful time where we actually ask God for the future to lead the parents and lead the child to Him. On the other hand, I would happily baptize a 5 or a 6 year old if they could declare to me that they believe in Jesus as their Savior. Some young children get saved and they declare their love for Jesus and their faith is sincere. Then they can be baptized. It's a believer's baptism. When must we be baptized? Question number 4. Undoubtedly, the early church example is that it happened as soon as they believed. Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. It seems like for the most part when someone received the gospel, they understood they're becoming a follower of the way of Christianity, and that involved baptism as a representation that you committed. So now just for a couple of minutes, I'm going to stop teaching and just give you some personal testimony. I was raised, I grew up in an Anglican church. They never really taught on baptism. My parents were never too concerned to follow the Bible for themselves. They just wanted to do what the church told them. So as was the custom, I was christened. I had baby baptism. They sprinkle water on you. Luckily, they don't stick you underwater. Of course, I was like a few months old. I can't remember that. And I grew up. And as a young person, maybe 10 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. And I still knew nothing about baptism and no one taught me anything. But when I was about 18 years old, a church started to teach me what the Bible says about being baptized. So I realized I've never been baptized. So I decided I must get baptized because it says in the Bible if you believe you must be baptized. And I'm actually quite a simple guy. If it says it, I believe it. So I told my parents, I'm going to get baptized. My dad was like, what is this nonsense? You were baptized as a baby. See, I knew I wasn't baptized, and my dad knew I was baptized. What my dad understood as baptism wasn't baptism and didn't mean baptism for me. I'd never had the opportunity to publicly declare that I am a follower of Jesus. And I said to my dad, with all respect, I feel a conviction, I must do this to honor my Lord. I wasn't living under his roof anymore. I was a student living in another town. I had a good relationship with my dad. I had no desire to rebel against him. It was a simple question for me. Who comes first, the Word of God or my dad? So I said, love you, Dad, but I'm going to get baptized. I did it, and I don't regret it. Years between when I got saved and when I got baptized because the church simply wasn't teaching baptism properly. Why hesitate? Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? That's how we should be. Just follow the downhill. Just go down the hill. You'll find water at the bottom. Which brings me to my next question. Where must we be baptized? Anywhere. When we get people saved in the bush, if you can walk to the Manambulu River, even if there's crocodiles, we can baptize there. This is why they have to be saved before you baptize them. In case the crocodile takes them. But what do you do if you're up on the plateau and there's no river? I find enough water, even if it's just a bucket to pour over their head, but get them baptized. The nearest water after you get saved, the nearest water is good enough. The Bible doesn't prescribe formality. It doesn't say you need a baptismal font and a ceremony. Actually, the church doesn't own baptism. It's not our thing to administrate. It's a believer's thing. Which leads us to the sixth question. Who can baptize? Any believer can baptize another believer. It doesn't need to be an elder or an apostle. Philip, who baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible doesn't even really define what he was. He was like a deacon evangelist. So if you discipling someone, if you leading them towards Jesus, and they say, I've never been baptized, you could say, well, let's go get baptized. Call a few friends. Meet at the lake. Baptize them. It's more fun to have some witnesses, because that's the whole point of making it a public declaration. And when Jesus said, go and preach the gospel and make disciples and baptize them, he gave that commission to the whole church. Do you think you have the authority to preach the gospel? Yes. Yes. We should all be evangelizing people, and if you need to get them baptized, you can baptize them. Yeah. Or you can wait. I wish we were so passionate we didn't want to wait. You know, the church does baptisms two or three times a year. We put a pool there, we make it fairly easy. But I've also gone down to the lake and stood at the side there in between those times with someone else and seen them being baptized, because now is the time. A young man said, I've been a Christian for some time, but I feel I've been half-hearted and lukewarm, but now I really want to commit to Jesus and I want to get baptized. We don't say, oh, you know, it's not October yet, you can't be baptized. You know, once a year we do it. No, it's not like that. You see this person is at the right place where they're hungry for Jesus. You say, now is the time. When a person takes that step and they get baptized, it's like their faith is so encouraged and strengthened. We shouldn't miss that moment. So that was the sixth question. Who can baptize? Anyone can baptize as long as you're a believer and you're baptizing a believer. And now the last question, how do we baptize? What is the methodology? Well, this is historical and grammatical. To understand what was meant by the word baptize in the Bible. The word comes from a Greek word, baptizo. I can't speak Greek. But if you look at John baptizing people in the Jordan, it speaks about when they came up out of the water. At the end of the baptism of Jesus, when they came up out of the water. So they went under the water. Because you don't come up out of the water if you weren't under the water. The word baptizo, in the dictionary, it means to immerse, to put underneath water. It's used of ships that sink. Submerged. Baptizoed. How do you turn it into a verb? Put under. In fact, there was an idea in some of the grammar, the usage of the word was repeatedly dipped. Like when you wash clothing, you put it in the water, you wash it, you pull it out, you put it in the water. It's like repeated action. Do we baptize someone by putting them under once or three times? You know, some guys like, for the Father, for the Son, for the Holy Spirit. It's not necessary. The picture symbolism is Jesus dying and being raised, you dying with Christ and being raised to new life. So you go under once. Do you think it's an invalid baptism if the pastor's super enthusiastic and he does it once for the Father, once for the Son, once for the Holy Spirit? I don't think it's invalid. I just think it's unnecessary. I think God probably has a smile on His face at those moments. But here's the interesting thing about grammar. There's another word, bapto, and it's also Greek. And that word is not the word that's used for baptize. And it's interesting that from a Greek poet and doctor, I don't know if I would trust a doctor who's a poet, but anyway. This guy's name was Nicander. He lived about 200 BC. And he wrote a recipe for making pickles. And the recipe is helpful because it uses both Greek words. He says, in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped, that's bapto, into boiling water. And then baptized or baptizo into the vinegar solution. Clearly showing us that the baptizo idea is not christening or sprinkling of a baby, it's immersing a believer underwater. So, bapto is like the light sprinkle, little dip, it's nothing. But the Greek word baptizo, it means go underneath, go right down. So that's why we baptize that way. We put someone underwater, we bring them up again. I've given you all the points and the answers. But what I want you to also have in your heart is an excitement about baptism. It is a wonderful public confession of faith and a moment that we should celebrate. We will celebrate every time we see someone baptized. Because we're seeing someone saying, I'm with Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I follow Him. And I want the world to know. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the things You've asked us to do. That You've given us baptism as a command. But it's also a blessing because it allows us to declare our faith. We're so often timid and shy. But in that moment, we declare to the whole world that we're a follower of Jesus. I pray that in this church, every believer would be baptized. As we unashamedly say, we're with You, Jesus. We want to be identified with You in Your death, so we can be identified with You in Your new life. And in our hearts, we know that's what's happened when we've become a Christian. Let us be a people who shouted to the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.